And I wanted to talk a little bit about this holiday that we call that because I was watching Fox News yesterday morning, and they had this guy from the MRC, the Media Research Council, and they check out what media does. And they said that the three major networks, ABC, NBC, and CBS, had during this period of time 526 stories about Christmas. And they wanted to see how many of those included Jesus or God, and only 7 of the 526 stories mentioned even Jesus or God. So there seems to be a worldwide conspiracy of the media to exclude God and Yeshua from this holiday. And so if all these people are not hearing about it at this time of year when they should be hearing about it, according to their custom, how are they going to hear about it? So we need to look at this holiday and see what's going on and see what we can do instead of being angry all the time, which I see some of you are. Christmas, as it's celebrated in the world today, has little, if anything, to do with the birth of our Messiah. The God that is worshipped is not Yeshua, the Savior of the world. It's the God of materialism. And that root came from Babylonian worship somewhere, I suppose. It has become the most profitable time of the year for most businesses. Most of your businesses make almost 75% of their income in the last 2 months. And the rest of the year, they just kind of skate through. If you take Santa Claus, the Christmas tree, the gifts, the decorations, and all the festivities out of this day and recognize it as only the celebration of the birth of our Messiah, do you think the world would celebrate it? I very much doubt that they would. The world celebrates Christmas as a winter festival, even expressing animosity to the church for trying to emphasize a spiritual meaning to it as the birth of our Messiah. In fact, the world is trying everything it can to remove that religious context. I just told you that. How paradoxical. This is yet another proof that the roots of this day were never biblical at all, because people of the world who have no relationship with God or His Son are celebrating it. The Christian community has failed to maintain a purity, a holiness, and an integrity to their Messiah's birth. They have chosen to celebrate the most important event. This is the most important event in all of world history. The birth of the Messiah and the Savior of the world on a day that is Babylonian in origin. It's not even the real day. The Christian community have compromised and allowed the culture and values of the world to influence their observance of this day. The festival of Hanukkah, instituted in 165 BC and celebrated today, has come to epitomize the struggle of Israel as a nation striving to walk in holiness and survive in a midst of an unholy and godless and hostile world. That's more of a walk about that. The whole purpose why this day became instituted as a holiday was because the Jews refused to allow the Greeks to impose their culture upon them. They fought to their death in order to keep their faith and culture and holy and pure. Unfortunately, many in the church have compromised their convictions and have chosen to not distance themselves from customs and traditions of the world that have no basis or roots in the Word of God. How then should we respond to these traditions that have become so widely celebrated throughout the world during this time of year? It's important that we develop a biblical basis for the traditions that we observe to ensure that they are rooted in God's Word. I don't like doing things just because they're tradition. I need to find something in the Bible before I do it. Tradition in and of itself is not wrong. There's nothing wrong with it. Even Yeshua had traditions that he followed. As long as it does not violate or compromise the scriptures, Yeshua never spoke against them only when they transgress the commandments of God because of their traditions. Okay, so there's three basic ways that people view tradition. There's a person we call the strong traditionalist, those who live for tradition. They tend to be very conservative and very legalistic, right? They are very religious. They have strong views and opinions on issues to the point of unbending. We've all met those kind of people. Call them stubborn. If it was good enough for my mother and father and grandparents, it's good enough for me and my children too. They don't question why they believe what they do. They have such a strong view of tradition that when challenged, they can become very emotional, very angry, even hostile. Then there's the anti-traditionalist, those who are opposed to any kind of tradition. They're almost proud of the fact that they walk in liberty and freedom. I am not bound to anything. They equate tradition and even the law, they equate with something they call bondage. As soon as they hear the word tradition or law, lights start flashing, ding, 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 in their heads. Walls and barriers go up. I don't want any part of that tradition. God has set me free from all that. And we are no longer under the law. God has abolished it. This is an unbalanced and extreme view of grace and law. Doesn't exist. Not real. And then there's the moderate traditionalist, one who is not extreme one way or the other. He holds moderate opinions on tradition. He may hold to and observe some traditions and forms, but he is not bound to them. He sees value in traditions, but is willing to be flexible and open-minded, but not legalistic. There is a freedom, yet an honoring of that, which is good. This is a more balanced view of tradition. So all people have some sort of tradition in their lives. I mean, everybody does. Whether it is spiritual or cultural, y'all have tradition. Every society has a unique culture that expresses certain customs, certain values, certain traditions. They can provide a sense of identity by providing security and structure in your life. Can you imagine what it would be like to have to constantly change things in your life? That would be tough, wouldn't it? You can't do that. We are all habitual in nature. We like to develop habits that we get very comfortable in. Man by nature does not like to change. Traditions can become either a blessing that draws us closer to God or a bondage that would lead us away from God. Let me share with you five guidelines that will help you to discern whether certain religious traditions are biblical and can be embraced or worldly and should be avoided. And so the first guideline would be, are the roots of that tradition holy or unholy? The olive tree is the symbol of Israel in the Bible, right? In Messiah, Gentiles are grafted into the olive tree. They become part of Israel, do they not? The Jews are called the natural branches, and the Gentiles, the non-Jews, are called the wild branches. Not because of your party last night, but because you're not a natural branch. That makes you wild. Not because of the party we had at Roger's house last night. Romans 11, 16 through 18 says, if the roots are holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you Gentiles, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among the Jews, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember, you do not support the root supports you. A messianic leader was once quoted as saying that much of the church is like a Christmas tree. And I like this. All glitz and ornaments, frills and lights, but it's cut off from its roots. What happens to a Christmas tree on December 31st? It's all dried up and dead. No roots. Christianity's like that. It should be like the olive tree, though. Deeply rooted in Holy Scriptures, the root being our Messiah himself, Yeshua. There is much truth to that statement. When we develop traditions to express our faith, are they rooted in the holy root of God's word? Are your traditions rooted in God's word? 2 Corinthians 6:17, we are a holy people set apart by God. God has called us to come out from among them and be separate. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. You're not here because you don't like watching cartoons on Saturday morning. Why are you here? Because someone told you about us, or you found us on the internet, or you said, I want to go there and see what's going on. God sent you here. Not because you hate cartoons, but because he loves you enough that he wants to grab you and use you for his kingdom. He wants you to be the holy people set apart by God. He can't have everybody be holy people. He has to pick a remnant. You hit a lottery. You didn't even buy a ticket, did you? You hit the greatest lottery of all kind if you're sitting in this room and you don't even know it. Deuteronomy 12, 1 through 4. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall be careful to observe in the land which the Lord your God, your fathers, is giving you to possess all the days that you live on the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess serve their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree, and you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their God and destroy their names from that place. You shall not worship the Lord your God with those things, or such things. And Jeremiah 10, 1 through 7, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Sorry, guys. The nations. I'm not supposed to learn what you're teaching me. For the customs of the peoples are futile. They're worthless. Remember, I always said life is futile unless you're a Gentile. A Gentile Jew. Gentile. Never mind. For one, cuts a tree from the forest. This is in Jeremiah. The work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers so that it will not topple. Kind of sounds like a tree that we buy and put in our house around this time of year, doesn't it? Though this is not what is referred to here, the truth and principle is consistent with the word of God. Anything fashioned that is idolatrous in form is contrary to God's word and violates the second commandment. You shall not make for yourself any carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or on the earth beneath. As a Messianic congregation, our purpose is to ensure that the foundation and roots of our faith are holy. That's our main job. Number two guideline, does the tradition point to the Messiah? He should be the center and focus of our tradition. All the feasts of Israel that are observed in a Messianic congregation throughout the year are observed within the context of recognizing that Yeshua is the Messiah and the central figure that we worship. Most of the traditions that are associated with Christmas certainly do not point to the Messiah. In fact, they distract and draw away from him. What do? Give gifts to people? Do you ever ask Yeshua what kind of gift he'd like to get on Christmas Day from you? You ever buy him a gift? You could buy him a gift, you know, it's your life. Sell everything you have and follow me. That's his gift he wants from you. Man, you could buy all the Wii machines you want, but that ain't going to get you into heaven or wherever it is you're going. Huh? Does the tradition or custom glorify and honor God? This is our greatest calling and purpose as God's people, to honor and glorify God in our lives. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. In Matthew 23, Yeshua was not opposed to tradition, only the hypocrisy in men's hearts. who observe them as an outward show to be seen by man. There are many traditions and customs within the Jewish faith that are so beautiful that can glorify and honor God. The Friday night Shabbat meal, the Sabbath meal, that Jewish families come together and celebrate each week. How many families in this world come together and actually sit down at a table at least once a week and eat together? Probably, outside of the Jews, very little, especially in our day and age. Everybody's grabbing something at the fast food joint on their way here and there. And then they sit down and they light candles and they have a Kiddush cup. They light, drink wine and eat bread and they pray blessings over the family and children. When was the last time some of those families blessed their children? Their idea of a blessing is, leave me alone, go watch TV. We meet on the Sabbath to read from the Torah, to honor and celebrate God's word, and we wear tallits, which are in Numbers, and skull caps, and these are actually in Exodus. In each of these practices, God is the focus and center of our tradition. As a Messianic congregation, we seek to honor and glorify God through these visible expressions and traditions because we seek to keep the Messiah at the heart center of our faith. There is a freedom of worship through the Holy Spirit that one can experience without allowing these traditions to lead us into bondage or legalism. Number four, does it draw us closer to God? Do we experience God's presence as we celebrate this tradition, or do we find that it distracts us from drawing into God's presence? In Matthew 15, we read how Yeshua challenged the scribes and Pharisees' view of tradition. Why do you transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Are these traditions characteristic of the world, or are they characteristic of God? Paul said in Colossians 2, 6 through 9, as you therefore receive Messiah Yeshua, walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught. Beware lest anyone deceive you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Messiah. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form, for you are complete in him. Okay, a third truth that's important to us to understand is the issue of liberty versus legalism. Some people feel threatened and become emotional, angry, and even hostile when their traditions are challenged. You ever see that? All the time. Even if you can prove to them that from the scripture that what they're doing is wrong, many people will still resist you. They don't want to change. A person will always find a way to justify his or her actions. How can we deal with the strong traditionalists or those who may oppose what we believe? Well, a good rule to follow in dealing with these type of people is a principle found in Romans 14. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace, to mutual upbuilding, edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food, in this case, for the sake of tradition. Whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. So it's not our place to judge or condemn anyone. You cannot judge anybody. You can't condemn anybody for what they do, even if they're wrong. The subject is not an issue of salvation or doctrine. It becomes a matter of conscience and falls under the same category of those believers in Paul's day who ate food sacrificed to idols. 1 Corinthians 8:9, but beware lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block or cause of offense to those who are weak. Guess what, folks? We are not destroyers, we're bridge builders. We don't burn any bridges behind us. If we burn our bridges behind us, we damage our witness. Who's going to follow us if they can't cross over the bridge? And I've seen it happen. We shoot our reinforcements sometimes. I see that here at the door sometimes. Part of our vision as a Messianic congregation is to build bridges in the Christian and in the Jewish community. We are breaking down the wall. Yes. That's what we're doing. Yes. We can alienate ourselves from our brethren by coming across with a judgmental or legalistic attitude. As a Messianic congregation, we are trying to repair, tikkun, rebuild, and restore truths back into the Christian community. Our vision is to help the body return to the foundations and roots of their faith so that we can see spiritual renewal and revival come to the body. Let us not destroy the work of God for the sake of tradition, to just try and prove that we are right. You want to prove that you're right? Go ahead, but you're going to destroy people in the process. We need to guard. G-U-A-R-D. I'm from New York, have a hard time speaking. We need to guard our hearts against becoming self-righteous like many of the Pharisees in Yeshua's day. Knowledge puffs up, but it is love that builds up. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual upbuilding. Let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this not to put a stumbling block to or cause to fall in our brother's way. That's Romans 14, 13. So there's four things that you can do. Number one, this time of the year. This is the best time of year. It is. What I'm about to tell you. This time of year gives us an opportunity. Aren't we always looking for opportunities to speak about our Messiah? When do you think anybody would be open to listening to him if not this time of the year? It is during this time of the year that people are usually more open to hear the gospel. Don't shut it in their face. We are to make the most of every opportunity. We can tell people why the Messiah was born, why he died, and why he rose from the dead. And we could do that better at this time of the year than at any other time of the year. Try doing it on the 4th of July and see how many people are listening. We should be challenging people to respond to the gospel, to receive what is the greatest gift of all. Amen? What is the best gift you can get on Christmas Day? There you go. The gift of salvation that we experience in our Messiah. Yeah. This time of year can be a wonderful opportunity to share our faith. Don't lose it by sitting at home saying, I ain't going to that place where they have that green stuff. Oh, those stupid people. Why can't they be like me? I know all about this Yeshua stuff. I'm going to keep it to myself and not tell them because I don't want to share my time with them because they're doing all that pagan stuff. No. It's not what you do. Not what you do. I think I told you last week I was comfortable being anywhere with the generals, with the presidents and all the important people, and with the bums on the Bowery. That's how you got to feel when you're talking the word. This is a time also to strengthen family relationships. And I know 98% of you are struggling with that, including me. Even though you don't have to participate, you don't have to do all the things associated with Christmas, you could still use it as an opportunity. There's that word again, opportunity, to reach out to others and minister to your family, to keep relationships healthy. You know what healthy is? Well, we didn't have a talk about that. We don't want to damage our witness to our family by condemning and judging them because they might not believe the same way you do. How did you live before you came to believe the way you do now? Yeah, well, remember that and have some compassion. We are bridge builders, ambassadors of the Messianic vision. As we have an opportunity, seek to share your view of Christmas from a Messianic and biblical perspective. Remember to do it in love. L-O-V-E. I have been able to share this truth with many believers and pastors. As a result, many of them have incorporated some of the things that I've been able to teach them into their own lives, into their own traditions, and into their own congregations. It's happened. It's also a good time to meet the needs of the poor. Reach out as you become aware of needs and let our light shine before all men. Become involved in ministering to the poor and the needy by volunteering your time to Christian agencies or to other churches. You know, a lot of Jewish people will work in nursing homes and hospitals on Christmas Day so that they could give Christian employees the day off so they could be with their families. What a gesture. What are you doing next? Well, it's Shabbat this year, but year after. We don't want to work on Shabbat, but I don't know if that would be called work or not by God. I think he would honor it anyway, wouldn't he? Become involved in ministering to the poor and needy by volunteering your time. God has called us to walk in love. Let us make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual upbuilding of the body. Let's be careful not to destroy the work of God. In this case, our Messianic vision for the sake of tradition. We are called to rebuild and raise up the ancient foundations of our faith. Remember, if the root be holy, so are the branches. Who's the branches? We are. There's a famous Jewish prayer we do every year, every week, once in a while. We're not going to do it today because time's running out. The Eleinu that is prayed. But I'll tell you what it says. We hope, therefore, it expresses a longing for us to be set free from the paganistic influence of the world. We hope, therefore, Lord our God, soon to behold thy majestic glory, when the abomination shall be removed from the earth and the false gods exterminated, when the world shall be perfected under the reign of the Almighty, and all mankind will call upon thy name, and all the wicked of the earth will be turned to thee. May all the inhabitants of the world realize and know that to thee every knee must bend, every tongue must vow allegiance. Reign over us soon and forever. May the kingdom of David's greater son be established forever. For then shall the words be fulfilled, the Lord shall be king forever, the Lord shall be king over all the earth, and on that day the Lord shall be one, and his name Amen. One. Amen.